Rosalie Tidoff, and I'm interviewing Bob Manning. Okay, Bob, this afternoon, I wonder if you could tell me what you can remember about your own courtship and marriage. Saved by the door.
I told you this morning, we moved from our little 80-acre farm, which was located within a mile from school, so it was no problem walking to school. We moved back to the 320-acre farm. And about a half a mile down the road was a real pretty girl, I thought. She looked real pretty in a gingham dress, but she looked like a hedge fence when she dressed up in a party dress. But Bob fell in love with her. He thought he had someone that he would like to marry and raise a family with. But you know, my kid brother, the better looking guy I was, and we went out to a picnic one afternoon. And he had her swinging in the swings, and I was watching it. It sort of, the old buck deer is, or wants to be the ruler of the forest. Well, I wanted to be the ruler of this situation, but I lost out. So I was talking to my oldest sister, and she said, "Oh, God, Loretta's just a little country hick. You don't want to get involved with her. Why don't you go down and date this Jenny Balin, West Virginia?" Well, the next time I went to dance, that's how we got started dating. We danced with a girl, and I said, "Hey, how about let me take you home?" And that's how the courtship started. Well, I dated Jenny for probably a year, and I had an opportunity to go to Detroit to work for the F.W. Woolworth Company as a stockman for $16 a week, which is big, big dough back then. And Jenny thought it was the end of the world. I guess she'd have married me that night when I left if I'd have said so, but we corresponded and hitchhiked back and forth for 4 years. Hitchhiking those days was very prevalent because it was Depression days. Everyone hitchhiked. Not very many people turned you down, but sometimes you got rides that were very inconsistent to what you thought they were. I got into a car one day with a college professor, and he was just a plain queer. I think you're all old enough to know what I'm talking about. So I had to get out of the car, and I was out no man's land trying to get a ride the rest of the way to Detroit. But these are some of the experiences that you run into when you do these kind of things. And well, after 4 years, they transferred me to Warren, Ohio. That was like putting me in Europe, as far as Jenny was concerned. She came down with her mother to visit. And I guess my folks came down too. Anyway, they were staying at the hotel, and my mother made the statement, "What are you going to do this summer?" I said, "I'm going to get married." And I hadn't even proposed to Jenny. I just made the statement is all. Well, turned out we got married on June 19th because the company fired me for getting married. And I had to change my wedding date. And I had a couple of friends in the front office went to bat for me and said, "Hey, look, this guy isn't—he's not welfare prospect. His dad's got a big farm; he can take care of any problems." What they were worried about, that lousy $16 wouldn't support a wife and probably a kid or two. So that's why they made their trainees stay single. And they were real strict about it. But I did, I got my job back, and I guess about 1 year later, I was made a store manager. And I would think that's probably about the extent of what you call the romance in my life. Then I started the real family life of my life.
Mm-hmm. How did you end up meeting your spouse, meeting Jenny? You said at a dance, was it?
Yes.
That's where?
Yes. The two towns are only about 10 miles apart, and we lived in a triangle between the two. You could go to Portland and be with the Irish, or you could go to Westphalia and be with the Germans. And it turned out three of my brothers married German girls, and one brother married an Irish girl. But, that's how.
And Jenny was an Irish girl or a German?
German.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, we lived together for 40 years, as man and wife. I've raised 8 children, and she died on me.
What did you like about each other?
I think I liked her money. Turned out she didn't have it. No, I tell you, I think when you're talking about what did you like about somebody, that's a good question. I think the only way that you can really, what makes you love two people greatly is how much you sacrifice for one another and how much you put up with one another. She put up with a guy that the company said, work Sunday, you, no matter what the plans were or anything, we just went according to whatever Bob had to do, and that was it. She put up with it. We had misfortune in our family. We had a handicapped child. And to see the love and devotion that she showed towards that child, I think this is where you forge your love really towards one another. It doesn't come with any great glamour about how you're going to get in bed with somebody and love the hell out of them. Those kind of things are all superficial. They're important to growing up and being married. But the great things about marriage come about by what the two people are willing to sacrifice towards one another.
Boy, now that's a provocative quote, gang. You can put that in your quotes. That was beautiful, Mom. Thanks. Okay, I feel like Oprah Winfrey here a little bit. Thank you, Bob. That was nice. What common interests did you share? Did you have some common things that you liked to do together?
Yes, we both loved to play bridge. And every Saturday night we had a good old bridge party going. Uh-huh. And had friends who had similar circumstances, too many kids and not who didn't really want to associate with anyone else. So we always picked up someone else that had a bunch of kids and they had to tolerate one another. But we had good times that way too, uh-huh. Real good times. Something like the Tito's.
Yeah, we do. We have good times.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you, back to the wedding now. What do you remember about the wedding itself? Can you tell us anything about maybe rings or showers or saving money for it or planning
it?
Oh,
God, this is terrible.
Any of that?
This is terrible. You won't believe it. I can't confess this. This is too terrible.
You won't tell us that part?
Yeah, I'm going to tell it.
Okay.
Jenny said, "You know, you gotta have a ring." I said, "Yeah, that's right. Go get one, and I'll pay you for it." What an old scrooge! I never did pay for the ring.
We have that on tape, Bob.
But I did buy her a beautiful party ring on our 40th wedding anniversary. And I paid cash for it too. Well, you know, a whole lot of cash. What was the other question about the ring?
Oh, anything about the wedding itself. Parties before, showers, what you wore.
I had 2 weeks off on vacation. I got married the Saturday, in between Saturday and the 2 weeks. Helped my dad get the dance floor. We built a dance floor right out in the yard of Jenny's parents, where they live. Mm-hmm. Put up a big tent. And this is Westphalia, where the Germans preside, and prohibition had been lifted, and you could drink 3-2 beer. It was the strongest beer that they allow you to drink, by law. So it was a real festive party. Everyone sang. I sang a lot of German songs, and I even tried to sing some of them myself, but I wasn't very good at it. We took off, went to Lansing, which is a whole 20 miles away for our honeymoon, come back the next day. Well, you'd almost say, well, I think those two have been sleeping together a long time before for such a short honeymoon, but that isn't the case, I can tell you that right now. I married strictly a 100% virgin girl, and I'm real proud I did, because I think that's the way to marry a girl. We ended up in Youngstown, Ohio on our way back, I remember, and they were Youngstown Sheet and Tube, I think they call it, the big steel company, was on strike, and we ran through the National Guard there, I recall that, and within 20 miles of Youngstown, you couldn't get through there without us, without you being stopped and questioned. I picked up a soldier boy and let him drive the rest of the way in. It was about a 400 miles drive from where we lived in Michigan to Warren, Ohio, where we were going to make our new home. And I think that's about sums up most of it.
Very interesting. Did you have, what kind of attire did you wear to the wedding itself? What kind of clothing?
A good Brooks Brothers special, $29 blue serge suit with a white necktie, with a white shirt, and I forget the color of the tie. But that's about the extent of, as far as, remember, these were Depression days. There wasn't much money around. 1930, when did we get married? In 1936? Yeah.
If I at the wedding now, you said you had a dance floor. Do they have dinners like we have today? Was there dinner with it?
The Germans are very great on festivities, just like the Polish people are around here and the Czechs. You had a breakfast to start with in the morning, and big chicken dinner that the ladies of the town. You didn't hire anyone; everyone just did it free for you.
You had a breakfast.
Oh yes, a big breakfast and a big dinner at night.
Now, who went to the breakfast?
The wedding party, mostly. And there'd be mostly just the wedding party and like your brothers and sisters and your parents.
Do you remember what some of the meals or the dishes might be that they bring?
I don't really recall.
I don't recall that. Mm-hmm. That's probably more something that someone that was cooking at the time would remember. Okay. You said you had your honeymoon and then you went to Youngstown, Ohio. That's where you first set up housekeeping. Mm-hmm. Do you remember how you supplied that house or furnished it?
It was a furnished apartment. I mean, a furnished house. I lived here as this landlady. I was her one and only boarder that she had. And she and her daughter were going to California for the summer. So I said, well, how about leasing me your house for the summer? So we had a full house for free for 3 months. Didn't have to pay any rent at all, just to the utilities. But poor Jenny, she was so scared, I think she stood in the middle of the house most all day long for fear that someone might knock on the door.
Because it was a new town, do you think? The house was big?
No, she just come from a little hick town. There's only about 400 people, you know. You go to a big, Warren, Ohio is not a big city, but it was big by comparison.
Mm-hmm. When you finally moved into your own place, then after that, where did you move?
We got transferred to Toledo, Ohio, and there again, I said I married for money. I did get $1,000, or we did. We got $1,000 put down on a $5,000 home. Lived in it for 2 years, and the 2 years that we lived in there, we had two children, a boy and a girl. Tom and Susan were born while we lived there. And we were transferred to Lexington, Kentucky. And I rented the house for a year and sold it for $12,000. That's the war was on, and that's how things inflated overnight. And I bought a little shack in Lexington because they had a big army depot just outside of the city of Lexington, and every house in that town was was, someone was living in it, so houses sold at a premium. So I lost I paid $12,000 and more for the little dump that we moved into. We lived in that for a couple of years until I got on my feet, and then we bought a real nice little stone, three-bedroom house.
How did you get along with your in-laws and your spouse get along with your parents when you were first married?
I think we got along very well. The only thing that I can recall, and this goes back to our dating dates, poor Jenny, she would clean up her plate, and I'd reach for the chicken and the dressing and fill it all up again for her, and she was too bashful not to eat it.
So she felt she had to eat it to...
Yeah, because she wouldn't, or my folks wouldn't
feel, be hurt by it.
Yeah, wouldn't be hurt by it.
That's cute. The only question I have down here, you said you were married on June 19th. Can you give me the year that was?
1936.
Okay. Well, I have exhausted my questions because I did these at lunch today on courtship and marriage. Would you mind if I asked you a few of the highlights from the high school questions for these kids to hear, and then I'll let you get on your way, Bob.
I appreciate
your coming, though, and I... let's see. Well, why don't we just begin? You go ahead and, if you would, share some of your highlights and memories of your high school years.
Well, I went to a little grade school called St. Patrick's. It had eight grades in it. And then by the time I got to be a freshman in high school, they opened up the room that was normally used for the library, and they started two grades in the library room, the ninth and tenth grade. And while I was in that ninth and tenth grade, we weren't able to play football because we weren't a big enough school to play football. Public high school, which is across the river. And as a result, I made first string. Our first team right tackle in my junior year that way, because I practiced with them in my freshman and sophomore year. And we'd go to football games, I remember, and we didn't have uniforms. So the coach says, well, just tell them that you've got, what do you have when you have scurvy or something? Anyway, we weren't permitted to wear uniforms. We got it free to the football game that way. Well, then when I finally got to junior year and got to playing football, I had a problem. My head was so darn big, I didn't have a helmet big enough to fit it. So they had to order a special size helmet, which was size 8, believe it or not, and I still wear a size 8 hat. That's why you seldom see me with a hat on, because you can't buy one. Not today.
Mm-hmm.
I went back for some reason, either a class reunion or something, about 20 years later, and I walked in the locker room, and there was that big helmet is still hanging on the wall there with RJM on it, just the same as when I was in high school. I said, well, no one else has ever been able to fill that, so that's something that's a little bit different. We had proms, the same as you people do. I had dated a girl for the prom, and I didn't see that girl until about 2 weeks ago. That's about 56 years ago. I went to my brother's funeral, and I didn't recognize her. There's a couple other widow ladies there that I knew. My cousin, the one, she said, well, do you know who this is? And I said, no, I don't. She said, well, that's Vera Wallace. I said, yeah, I know Vera. I took her to the prom. I said, I'm going to get even with you right now, Vera. And I smacked her right on the old kisser. I said, that's what you get for not letting me kiss you goodnight. You would think that didn't happen. It did happen. But I'm very unpredictable. I was telling Miss Edolph about the kind of clothes we wore to the prom. This is depression again. Don't forget it. There's no money. And I borrowed my cousin Don Manning's white flannels. And I'm about that much bigger around than he is, so my mother put what you call a gusset. You open up the back of the trousers and you put in a big gusset like that to go so it fit all the way around. But I put on, a blue coat that I wore with it, so that covered up the gusset, because the gusset was white, and the rest of the flannel was what you'd call a winter white, sort of off ivory, or anyway, a big enough difference that it would be pretty noticeable if I would have had to take my coat off. We had fun days back in those days. Wintertime particularly, we did a lot of ice skating. We had a river that went through our town. And the town, being on a river, had hills going both from the east and west. So we had two bridges going across the river, and the one bridge we roped off and also closed the highway leading to the bridge. And that we slid down the hill, and we did a lot of our, what you call, getting together with, as teenagers, with our girlfriends and the likes, and it was a good fun time. The summertime was pretty much devoted to swimming and playing ball and working. We worked on the farm with my father and three other brothers. At our graduation, we didn't have big parties then. The graduation exercise was always a very special occasion with caps and gowns, same as you do. That particular graduation, they didn't, they selected a valedictorian and a salutatorian, but they didn't give any speech, or they picked, I think it was five of us from the speech class, and we each had to write something that would be equivalent to probably a 5-minute talk, and give it orally. That was part of the graduation program. Then I went home with my father and mother, because I couldn't walk 6 miles back to the farm by myself. And in those days, things were a little different. You didn't get the car every time you wanted it.
Did you get the car much? Was it something that...
Well, we had two cars. We had a pickup truck and we had a sedan. And if I went with my two other brothers to the dance, the three of us went in the sedan. And if you wanted to date with no one going along with you, you took the pickup truck. That's how it went. So, I guess it's about the same day as today in that respect. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what you remember about any embarrassing or humorous or tragic kinds of things that may have happened during your high school? An embarrassing moment or a humorous moment or a memory that stands out that might, you know, even though tragedy is hard to deal with, but it, you know, something that maybe was...
Well, I learned to drive a car when I was 14 years old, so I'd be what? Would I be a freshman, probably?
Probably.
Yeah. And my father and mother had gone up the other side of town to play what they call Pedro. It's a card game. And my two brothers and myself took the pickup truck and went to our neighbors, which was living about 2 miles away. Got up there and said there was no cards to play with, so I just got my driver's license, so I was eager to drive in, and I said, I'll go down, I'll get them. But two of the guys jumped in the car with me. One, the boys had a gun with them, I'll tell you more about that later. Anyway, like all new kids on the show off, I had that thing wide open. And the foot accelerator didn't work, so I had to use a hand accelerator. I don't know if you remember. No, I don't think you do, because none of you are old enough. But they had what you call a spark lever on one side and a gas lever on the other side. You pull down the spark lever, that'd make it go bang, 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 if you didn't pull it up quick enough. And apparently I lost control. I reached around the wheel to whip up or to lift up on the hand accelerator. And I went into the ditch, and this one guy said, "Hey, Bob, you're running in the ditch." So I give her a whirl like that, come out in the middle of the road, and we rolled down the road three times and threw one guy out, and he suffered some concussions as a result of it. Got down to the doctor's office, and my dad called me to one side, and he said, "Son, you have something in that car you weren't supposed to have?" I said, "No, Dad, not that I know of." Well, what we had taken one bottle of home brew along with us up to the party for 12 kids. And I thought that one bottle of home brew was still in the pickup truck. So I lied like a darn little Indian. I told him I didn't know anything. And then he finally said, "Did you have a gun?" "Oh, sure, Ivan's grandfather's gun he gave him." He said, "Wow," he said, "the neighbors found that gun and they said it was all loaded and cocked and everything." But you can see how in a short period of less than 45 minutes, a story can travel. This is what why I'm telling you this story. It isn't because of the gun or the bottle of beer, but how bad a tongue can get in the course of 45 minutes. My father already heard that we had a gun loaded in that car when we got into the accident. And of course that was the serious part about it. But the real serious part about it was the people that told the story to start with. Anyone could have, just looking at the gun, knowing it was just an old beat up revolver that no one had ever used for anything to hold up a bank or anything with. But it really charged me pretty hard at the time. Mm-hmm. And but I think it's a good story, and it's well worth telling in that darn sure of your facts when you go spreading a rumor. And the guy recovered all right. His mother said, "You should have killed him. He was such a miserable kid to get along with." Of course, she didn't really mean that.
Yeah, interesting. Why did the boy have the gun along? Did he just...
Well, you were just playing with, you know, how you whip it around on your finger like that? Uh-huh. And instead of laying it down, he carried it with him.
Uh-huh. What do you remember about fads at the time? Maybe hairstyles, the way people dressed, expressions, jokes, any of those, heroes, any fads that maybe existed?
Where's the fad gone around here? I don't see any shoes that aren't tied. Is that over with already?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Is it still over, or do you still go with them untied?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty well over with.
Yeah.
Well, we had a fad too. You've seen four buckle arctics, sometimes they have five buckle even, come way up to your knee. And as teenagers, we thought it was great to walk down the street, slushing those buckles against one another, and man, they'd make all kinds of noise, more noise than corduroy pants ever made. And that was one of the styles that we had. You kids never got with.
Talking about those big boots, you know?
I'm glad you never did. Brill cream was a great thing back in those days, and I remember I had quite wavy hair at the time. I'd wear that Brill cream, and the waves didn't go in quite right. I'd put them in there, so they just laid perfect. And the old sunshine on the shine really greasy. A little dab of Do You? That's probably too old for you and even remember. Do you ever remember it?
I remember.
Yeah. That's how they advertise Brill Cream hair cream. It's a white cream. It's still on the market, I understand. But they called it, in their advertising, they said, a little dab will do you. I guess that's the way it went. But we used more than a little dab. We really greased it down good. I was a tow head. I didn't have any whiskers to mount anything. I had white ones. They were really white. And kids that were trying to grow mustaches, the ones that were brunettes got by with it. But I remember taking a match, lighting it, and darkening my mustache for a date. So, I know there's other things, but I can't think of them.
Well, you're doing a great job of thinking of those. Are really, really interesting. What about, were there any jokes, expressions that you would use? Do you remember? That's been a long time. Remember expressions?
Yeah, I don't recall. I really don't recall. Uh-huh. I'm sure there were at the time, just like there is today.
Uh-huh. How about heroes?
Oh, yeah, I think Tom Mix goes back so far that he really dates my real childhood, like from third grade through maybe fifth or sixth grade, somewhere in there. Roy Rogers, I guess, came in pretty well, even way back then, too. Tom Mix was a big hero. Never kissed his girlfriend, he always kissed the horse. And that was the end of the show.
Well, I think that probably wraps it up. We had a little longer hour here this period because I didn't have to do announcements and things. And I appreciate you doing this interview for us. It was very interesting. And anything else that you recall about courtship, marriage, or high school that you want to add? Or?
No, I think I've already revealed more than I should. Someone might hold it over my head.
Oh, I don't think so. Okay.